Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation.
You are a human animal. You are a very special breed. Or you are the only animal who can think, who can reason, who can read.
From KCRW Santa Monica, I'm Michael Silverblatt, and this is Bookworm. You know, for the drive show, I choose one of my favorite things, and I'm always happy when my favorite of favorite people has a favorite thing. It's Art Spiegelman. Well, you know him from Mouse. Now you will know him from his new book, Breakdowns. In 1978, he put together a sequence of his most intense cartoons. They were everything he learned, but more than that, they were about trying to find the essence of what cartooning is and what a cartoonist is and who he is. These are extremely dense and extraordinarily powerful strips that were brought together in a limited edition that quickly disappeared. Now he has put them at the center of his book, Breakdowns, or Portrait of the Artist as a Young Blankety Blank, published by Pantheon. Now, what is a blankety blank, Art?
Oh, it's the squiggles that appear above your head when you slip on a banana peel. So it's the percentage Arabat squiggle star exclamation point that can only be pronounced off FCC radio or seen but not said, the set of marks that comics have at their core.
Now, I think that the young man who made Breakdowns might not be found today. At least I don't tend to meet him. You were him. I was a version of him. Some of it had to do with LSD. Some of it had to do with underground comics, with the war in Vietnam, with the sense that nothing made sense at that time. In other words, with the late 60s and early 70s. Art, who were you then?
Huh, well, I'm still working on that one. I think there was a brief period where I thought I might be the Messiah. That led up into a mental hospital. Then I kind of backed off enough just to say, okay, I'll be a cartoonist instead. But whichever one it was somebody who had very often a glazed look, sometimes from the drugs, sometimes just from trying to figure out how I landed on this planet.
And I think that part of what a person does, because there was a squadron and maybe more, Glazed, Dauer, Dostoevsky, and kids who were beyond Dostoevsky and starting to read Kafka. In other words, the dark vision was the vision, and anyone who didn't share it wasn't in some sense fully alive. And these strips have the wonderful stink of that sweaty time of not being able to figure yourself or life out. That is to say, I think they are still powerful, and that if any listener wants to know what people are really talking about when they're talking about the power and strange grace of the 60s, this is a place in which that's enshrined.
I wonder, you know, I'm sorry, I know we're supposed to make a beeline for a 15-minute talk here, Ben, but I got to say that looking at my kids' friends, that anime and that go-for-broke desperation of trying to find out how you are, it's not limited to the 60s. It's it takes different forms. I'm sure that there's many people wound up and on the make one way or another as they try to, like, find their little slot in the beehive. But this book has to do with the essence of what it is to find out who one is and how one can give structure and shape to that thing, you know, and that those strips were made that way. And I think that that's still true. It's just that the dialects that one speaks in might be different between the 60s and now.
I agree with you, but now we would call what we're describing anami. Then we would have called it despair. Now there's not necessarily a solution to that anime. Then there was. It was drugs, poetry, and art. And there was some place to go that we thought would save us. And the intensity of the art of that time is the intensity of the need for salvation and the complete belief that it could be found.
Well, it's Okay, it's true that I don't know that I can even hang on to the life raft of art. Not me, but the stuff of art, the way I did in the 60s if I was a young person now. I'm not sure. This work definitely holds on for dear life, literally, to that as a possibility.
And I think, in a sense, the reason, it's not just to swell out the book. If Milton says about Paradise Lost that he's writing the book to explain the ways of God to man, this introduction, the portrait of the artist as a young blankety blank, is there to explain, after the heat has cooled, the intensity of the work in breakdowns. It's almost as if not only do people need to be reminded of what an artist's childhood is like, and this is a whole series of strips edited together, rearranged, jumping from memory to memory. It's also about how and why things can be intense. Maybe what I mean, Art, when you're talking about that we never, that when we're young, know who we are and we're always discovering it, I mean that then it was the subject of life itself. News magazines were covering that generation. And now to look at it, people want to think of it as being, oh, just crazy. But in fact, you know, it was scrutinizing itself, its thought processes, trying to find the exit sign. So many of the strips in Breakdowns are no exit scripts.
Well, you know, I think that the things you were just talking about, the memory strips in the beginning of the book, are there to beckon people into taking a challenge, which is to deal with something that has to not be so much read as reread in order to be understood. These things were built very, very densely, the things in Breakdowns. And this front matter that's half as long as the book introduces is a way of beckoning you in this now blossoming graphic novel moment where people are able to, like, fluidly read and look at narrative in comics form without the same real outsider status that came with making comics in the 70s. And those things, I think, allow me to use autobiographical elements to tell somehow everybody's autobiography.
Yes, it is a version of everybody's autobiography. I would say that what is beautiful about this, especially when it's paired with Breakdowns, is that here we have the people before they became tortured, your mother before she committed suicide, the father, at least we see him when he's a man who brings home comic books for his son. That this is something happened, and everyone now needs to lead daily life. And these strips seem to ponder the possibilities. How lucky you were that you didn't get a job with Cavalier or Dude magazine, that you brought into them the scripts that would show them Auschwitz. Oh, they don't want that in their, you know, cartoons. You are protecting yourself. But then the very next thing, you're bringing home to your son a treasure chest that contains, what does it contain?
Oh, there's a family heirloom being passed on to him, which is just this fire-breathing monster with a Hitler tongue, a Hitler snake tongue coming out of his belly, and all of the scorch of history that's there, and it's presented as some kind of short comic strip gag.
The father says, as if obliviously to his son, "It makes you feel so worthless, you don't believe you even have the right to breathe. And just think, someday you'll be able to pass it on to your son." And the boy, by now hunched in on himself, band-aided, his shirt scorched, folded into himself, says, "Thanks, Papa. But on some level, that is one of the gifts that parents give to children.
The family jewels being passed on, yeah. Everybody's got to figure it out over and over again, eh?
Yeah. And what do we see next? The attempt to evade giving the family jewels. Because here's the family in the next sequence called As the Mind Reels, watching the Dick Van Dyke Show. And they think they can just have a good time while Art trips on the rug and Laura gets her toe caught in the bathroom faucet pipe. But no, a phone call comes. The mother's only surviving brother has just been hit by a hit-and-run driver and died. And by the end of the strip, we're back in the colors of Mouse. The paled out grays and blues.
Right. The visuals of that, incidentally, were among the hardest I had to draw. It wasn't the style that was congenial to me. I was trying to make it look like these 1960 era offbeat greeting cards with a kind of very stylized, wacky, goofy, funny cartooning drawing. Because this basically was a contemplation of two strips inside the 1978 breakdowns. One called As the Mind Reels, which was visiting a soap opera set with my then-girlfriend, who's a camera woman for it, and thinking about the nature of soap opera and life. And another strip called Cracking Jokes, about what jokes are, what humor is. And here, this kind of conflation of soap opera life and the need to escape through laughing. Which makes it sound so ponderous. So I made it all look like the wackiest, most fun little section in the introduction.
And so these strips are based upon free association, and the principle that allows them to come together is the principle of film editing. And what I would say about breakdowns and Portrait of the Artist as a Young Blankety Blank is that it tells us everything you knew about art as an artist in 1978, and everything that you know now. It's a book of culminations.
Fair enough. And, you know, it's a very, both the 78 breakdowns and this are very, very compressed works. Like, we're now living at a moment where every time I get a new graphic novel comic in the work, it's thicker than the last. 200 pages, 400 pages, 700 pages. And to me, comics are an art of compression. They just expand back out in the brain. So this is all work that's been kind of squeezed down to its concentrated orange juice state. You know, so I think the whole oversized volume is about 80 pages or so. But I think it is, as you say, a culmination.
And what's fascinating is that in the breakdowns, you learned to embed images into a strip. And here, you learn to embed whole strips. it's as if that sense that art, when it's self-conscious, what is it about? It's about itself. What does it contain? It contains itself. That story within story process, that nothing can be told without dragging the whole kit and caboodle behind you, that somehow or other, it all, the form needs to be discovered that will hold everything.
You know, I'm so glad that you, Michael, are the first interview I'm doing, because this book is not made for sissy eyes, as Charles Ives once said for music, and you're definitely the kind of looker and reader, somebody who's able and willing to attend, that I'm very grateful for.
I've been talking with Art Spiegelman, author most recently of Breakdowns, published by Pantheon. Thank you, Art, for joining me. You're the kind of artist that my sissy eyes have been trained to look at.
It's great to be with you, Michael.
You can podcast this program, share it with a friend, or embed it in your blog with a click of a button on our new media player at kcrw.com. You can also call 800-600-KCRW. That's 800-600-5279, or pledge online at kcrw.com. You know what you're getting. My co-producer is Melinda Siegel. Alan Howard is associate producer. The technical director is Mario Diaz. Special thanks to recording engineer Steve Harwood at the Carnegie Studios in New York City. I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next time on Bookworm.
Books make you laugh and sing. Books tell you everything. They're your treasured friends in prose and rhyme.
Now it's Book of the Mouse Club time.
I want to tell you about a new show from the Financial Times called Life and Art from FT Weekend, hosted by me, Lila Raptopoulos. Life and Art is twice a week. On Mondays, I have a guest on to talk about life and how to live a good one. Everything from winter travel to cooking to living more creatively. And on Fridays, we talk art. Two FT journalists and I discuss a piece of culture that's in the air. New music, movies, and more. Find Life and Art from FT Weekend wherever you listen.